agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 28th day of September 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Along the way, I'll update you on the agricultural news, and we'll check in with Chris Hurd at Purdue. He's penned a new article for the Farm Doc website about potential expansion in the pork industry. And as we close out our time together, we'll take up the weather forecast, too, that with the guys up at Earthrest Technologies in Chicago on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. Corn pit futures were lower, down about 2 cents. December contract 2.25 lower at 386.75. March at 398, down 2.25. May down 2.5 at 405. July at 410.25, 2.5 lower. And September corn of next year down 2.25 at 402.75. The December 2016 contract for corn at $4.08.75 of a cent per bushel, down 2.25. From the soy complex, November beans down 12.5 cents at $8.76.75. January 8.80.75, 12.5 lower in the March, down 12.25 at 8.85.25. May futures 8.88.25, down 11.25, and July down 10.75 at $8.93. November beans at $8.84, down 9 cents. Bean meal futures $4 lower at $3.04.70. The bean oil down 54 cents at $27.18. Wheat futures in the December contract 2.25 lower at $5.05.5. July at $5.20, down 2.75. In the hard red, July, the harvest month there, at $5.31.5, down 2.25. Live cattle futures finished the nearby October, actually still trading, down $1.82.5 at $131.87.5. November feeders at $181.2.5. They're down 57.5. The lead option October up 30 cents at $184.90. And lean hogs for the day down 37.5 cents in the October at $71.50 per 100 pounds. The December there at $65.85. Up 7.5 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org and look at our USDA Reports page there, too.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Here's what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. Ethanol trading just about 0.3 cents higher at $1.53.3 per gallon. Crude oil is down $1.11 per barrel at $44.59. The price of gasoline on a gallon at $1.34.8 is down 4.7 cents. And diesel fuel for the day is currently trading 4.4 cents lower at $1.47.8. Natural gas is 0.3 cents lower at $2.56.1 cent. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 289 points at 15,914. U.S. dollar at 96.18, down 0.25. And the gold futures for the afternoon in the October at $1,134.25 a troy ounce, down $11.45. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. This afternoon, 20% chance of rainfall, an 84-degree high. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 62. Tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers. Those that come after 1 in the afternoon, mostly cloudy, a high of 75 degrees, a light north-northwest wind. That'll turn to the northeast at 10 to 15 and could gust all the way to 23 during the day on Tuesday. And then Tuesday evening, cloudy with a low of 50 degrees. We'll get rid of the rainfall potentially or any chance of it. And then on Wednesday, sunny skies and a high of 71 degrees. Thursday, sunny and 68. Friday, sunny and 67. Saturday, sunny and 66. And Sunday, partly sunny and 65. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of this half hour.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this 28th day of September. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. And on this Monday afternoon, we're joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I suspect farmers have been very busy, but not on the phone today. Those you have talked to have told you what?
Well, it's about the same over the last few days as far as, you know, how dry the corn is and how surprisingly good the beans are. Several guys said these are the best yielding short beans I've ever seen in my life in some areas. So it's amazing how this bean crop really did well here during the month of August to put beans on and keep those beans in a good condition, for say. So, no, it's just a matter of running through harvest. Things are moving fairly fast. I know here centrally we've been fortunate not to have the moisture amounts that the western belt's been receiving. It's kind of a muddy mess west in Minnesota. They continue to battle the elements. We'll see how harvest progress comes out this afternoon on the state breakdowns. But on the eastern belt here, we're going to show a big gain, whereas the west is still kind of slow to go.
Your expectations for those crop progress numbers show what?
Well, as a nation, I believe harvest progress is going to be fairly close in this 18 to 22% for corn and anywhere from probably 21 to 26% complete as beans as a nation. As far as a good to excellent category, I'm really surprised we've not seen a seasonal trend lower in that observation. But it's something to visit about in the opening trade tonight, you know, as far as a little bit of price direction. But overall, we'll continue to monitor this export business and how fast the crop comes out.
Beans have been on a seesaw as of recent. Will they finally find some direction over the next week or so?
Well, last week we visited, we were looking for some lows. We had a reversal up in the corn, and beans found the low a couple of days later. I'm under the opinion we found the high here for the week now, and then we'll probably drift back down. It kind of feels like we're in a sideways pattern here. You know, I'm optimistic longer term, but I think we need to get a little further along with harvest. Traditionally, once you get past that Columbus Day holiday, the market usually gets a little bit more excited about pushing the upside. The big unknown, though, that the trade's kind of scratching their head about, and I don't know the answer, is we saw these big commitments here last week to China. We really haven't been able to get the breakdown on which crop year. We did see an announcement of unknown bean sales this morning of 249,000 for this crop year. They did tag 1 million metric tons to China for the 2016-17 crop year. So those sales are going to happen. It's just, you know, what crop year they're going to put them into.
What should producers be considering other than the safety of the harvest season and getting the crop back into the bin or into storage someplace?
That's a good question, and that's been the main question we've received here, you know, for the last 2 weeks on different options to look at. It depends on whether you have on-farm storage or off-farm storage, but the main theme is to stay flexible in your marketing. There's several strategies you can look at. For commercial storage, you know, producers been taking advantage of the up moves and tight base to get some cash grain moved and do some re-ownership. The other strategy is anytime this July corn's poked its head above 410, that offers an opportunity for farm storage to pay going into next year and possibly you know, lock in some $4 corn next spring. So there's all kinds of things to do out there, but like I mentioned, the bottom line is to kind of remain flexible and be in a position to take advantage of the ups and downs both.
Three reports that are due out. Two of them are related to each other. That would be the WASDE crop production reports that are due out earlier in the month of October. And then 5 days later, of course, the FSA numbers, which will be built in already, I think, to the WASDE numbers. I'm sure that's the case, will be coming out. And this week, the grain stocks report is due out at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning. Expectations for any of those?
Well, the grain stocks, you know, a little higher corn number, a little lower bean number, we'll see. But, you know, it's old news. Trade be more focused on new crop sales. But, you know, it'll have to be out of line to be a shocker. We'll can't be too comfortable, not expect anything, but we'll see how that comes out. On the beans, you know, still are arguing harvested acres. Well, if we lose, 1 million harvested acres, but if we raise yield one bushel to the acre, it's still going to add to the bottom line on the balance sheet. So it's going to come down to the economists massaging these numbers here. But when you have bean carry out over 400 million bushel, that means there's going to be some ample supply to work with. And then the southern hemisphere come online fairly quick without no real weather threat in the southern hemisphere, and we see some additional acres materialize there. It's going to be awful hard to get real bullish beans here this winter.
Do you think that we can have a bigger yield for soybeans this year than we did last year? It was 47.9 last year. Right now we're at 47.1.
That's a good question. You know, these marble-sized beans coming in, it might add up, but but guys that are fairly, optimistic or pleasantly surprised in the beans. If they do raise bean yield, I don't think it's going to be a whole lot. I don't think it'd be more half a bushel. We'll see. We still got a lot of harvest to go through yet. How it all averages out, we'll probably won't know that until we get into January or after the first year sometime.
Any thought in the WASDE report that's due out in October, USDA will manage to lower the total number of harvested acres by more than a million, or even by that much?
Yeah, we'll see. It's kind of give and take. If you lose acres, you're going to bump up the average yield overall. Talking to guys, you know, there's a lot of acres out there that a lot of holes out there. There's acres that are getting planted. But yet, too, we saw a good chunk of central Illinois, Decatur, St. Louis, and through there. They put a lot of beans in the ground for insurance purposes. So we'll see how it pans out. There's a crop out there, how big. We'll debate that clear in the next year. But, the bottom line is we're seeing decent yields compared to past history when we've gotten the field and been seeing disappointing yields. So it's just a matter of getting the crop out and putting it away somewhere.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with me today.
Very good, Todd. Take care.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. In today's agricultural news, leaders in Washington were as stunned as everyone else by House Speaker John Boehner's announcement Friday that he is stepping down from the speakership and leaving Congress at the end of October. That includes American Farm Bureau Federation's Dale Moore.
All I can tell you is we are stunned. I am stunned. This was the last thing I expected to see pop up on my breaking news alerts here on my computer.
Moore has been around politics for years and suggests Boehner's frustration keeping conservatives in line and the government funded may have been too much.
I think, frankly, if I had to put my finger on anything, that the steel that's worked so hard to try and bring some comity and harmony to the process, you know, his heart has just kind of grown weary with that process. And I really believe that just one of those times where, he just said enough.
U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack also commented on Boehner's resignation, saying it eases the threat of a government shutdown midnight next Wednesday.
I think we should acknowledge how difficult a time this has been. to be Speaker of the House, and certainly wish him the best for whatever the next chapter of his life might be. I think we still have some degree of uncertainty, notwithstanding the Speaker's announcement about the status of the budget.
Bill Sachs says USDA is moving to avoid disruptions in food stamps and other programs in case Congress passes a stopgap budget at the last minute, or prepare the states and recipients in case they don't. Elsewhere in Washington, U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman's office says it will host trade ministers Wednesday and Thursday to further trade talks on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The TPP chief negotiators will stay on, and they'll meet from Saturday to Tuesday of next week in Atlanta. The announcement is a signal that the meeting may result in a final agreement. U.S. trade officials have said after a July meeting in Hawaii that ministers should not meet again until they're ready to finalize a deal. Representatives from Froman's office say negotiators have been making good progress toward resolving the limited number of outstanding issues. And finally today, the National Agricultural Statistics Service said Friday the first ever feral swine study now moves into the analysis phase after the data collection period was recently completed. The initial results show that for respondents in the state surveyed who grew crops in 2014, 34% reported feral swine being present in at least one of their fields. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. The nation's hog farmers have done a nice job of not overreacting to last year's record profits. They've limited their expansion plans and consequently should see a good bottom line again for this year and maybe next. For all of 2015, pork supplies are expected to be 7 percentage points higher than in 2014. That year, the price of pork averaged $76, mostly because the PED virus wreaked havoc on the industry. This year's supplies have been far more stable, and supplies for 2016, well, they should only be about 1 percentage point higher than in 2015. Hog prices are expected to average about $51 on a live weight basis for this year. Current projections for the 2016 year are for similar average prices, and it means hog farmers will make money, says Purdue Extension agricultural economist Chris Hurt.
After those record profits of 2014, there was clearly some concern that the industry would overexpand. So at this point, that concern just simply has not developed, with supply and demand that we're anticipating to be in relative balance come over the next 12 months. But this also, I think, serves as a warning to the industry to make sure that as we look at further expansion plans, we keep those very moderate.
There seem to be growing threats in the future for the meat sector. Those include, says Chris Hurt, the continued expansion of total meat supplies into 2016 and 17 with a rapid ramp-up of poultry and increased beef production.
Bringing back to more recent time periods, the large drop in finished cattle prices over the last several weeks suggests another potential problem for the pork industry, and that is those lower finished cattle prices should begin to show up fairly quickly in lower retail beef prices, maybe even in September, but especially October, November, December. Now, while those prices are very much higher on a per pound basis than pork, any lowering of beef prices at the retail level will make some additional competition for pork. In the longer run, I think we also know beef supplies are going to continue to expand overall for multiple years to come. Then we have potential weakness of meat and poultry exports. Now, that is a concern, and that, of course, is due to the slowing world economic growth that we tend to be in at this point, and part of that is resulting in a strong U.S. dollar.
A strong dollar makes it more difficult to sell U.S. products overseas as they become higher priced. Speaking of price, feed prices will remain low for the next 9 months due to strong yields for the 2014 and 2015 cropping seasons and weakened exports. Animal product producers will want to take advantage of harvest price lows this fall, states Hurt. However, he thinks longer term, managers need to remain aware that low feed prices are not guaranteed if weather should turn more adverse in some important growing areas. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. It's a gorgeous day in East Central Illinois and across much of the Midwest. Amy Sage now joins us. She's from the Andersons facility right here in Champaign County. Thanks, Amy, for being with us and taking time out of what I consider probably is one of your busier days of the year. How many trucks are you running through the facility today?
So we should be over 500. Saturday we were 539. I would anticipate a pretty close number to that today.
So you're on full force then, I guess.
We are full force, yes. And we have had a lot of guys in beans. A few guys switched back over to corn here. Got a little drizzle in some areas yesterday, a thick fog this morning, but still seeing some beans. We have seen a couple guys switch back to corn. So truck traffic has been very steady here for the past week now.
What are you hearing about yields?
Really, I guess on corn, it's been exactly what we expected, extremely variable. We actually have been tracking our yield reports that we've been hearing, and about a third of them have been below average, a third at average, and a third above average. So we're hearing some really good numbers, some more disappointing numbers, and then some right at average in our territory. Now, bean yields, on the other hand, we've been hearing some very surprisingly good bean yields so far. We have had a handful of more disappointing numbers and you know, some of the 50s and 60s, which aren't terrible, but a little disappointing for guys, but more what I think people would have expected. But we have been hearing some 70s and some low 80s, so a little bit better than expected so far on the bean yields.
No, those are awfully good yields. Does this tell you anything about what farmers might consider doing with either the corn or the soybeans as it pertains to storage?
Absolutely. And right now, to your point, we are not seeing a ton get sold, filling contracts for what was contracted, and then a lot getting put on DP or basis at this point.
And are those good ideas, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think so. I guess I'm really anxious to see what the October 9th report will have in store for us. I'm guessing that we will see a reduction in the corn yield. I hope so anyways, based on what's out there. So I would hope that that would be supportive of corn. We will see the prevent plant acres that were reported, the FSA, factored into this report. Now, that will not include the planted and failed acres, which I think would affect the beans more than anything at this point. So we'll have to wait on that. But I guess I'm hopeful for a positive report on the 9th.
All right. And what are your bids for the day?
You bet. 373 for cash corn, January at 390, fall 2016 at 379. Cash soybeans at 857 going home tonight, January at 865, fall 2016, 859. Cash wheat at 495 with new crop July at 495.
Thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons, joins us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Back in just a couple of minutes, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with the guys up at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Strawberry Cream Pie Day. Strawberries reportedly have a history that goes back at least 2,000 years, where they grew wild in Italy. They were discovered in the Americas by the first Europeans when their ships landed in 1588, and early settlers in Massachusetts ate strawberries cultivated by Native Americans. On this day in agricultural history in 1895, Louis Pasteur died. A French scientist, he showed that microorganisms were responsible for disease, food spoilage, and fermentation. He discovered the role of bacteria in fermentation, showing that microorganisms in yeast were responsible for the formation of alcohol from sugar. The discovery led to the germ theory of infection. and his method of killing harmful bacteria in liquids by heating them for a given time, a process now known as pasteurization. And in 1954, George Harrison Schull died, an American botanist. His work with maize led him to develop the first hybrid corn, ancestor of today's sweet corn, and a boon to commercial farmers. Schull's approach was to study the effects of inbreeding and subsequent cross-fertilization in corn. As a result of his research, corn yields per acre were increased 25 to 50%. And he developed a method of corn breeding that made possible the production of seed capable of thriving under various soil and climatic conditions. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On the line now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast is Mark Russo. He's at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago. Mark, thanks so much for being with us. Let's turn your gaze southward a little further than here east central Illinois. We'll come back and take a look at weather forecasts coming up. But I'd like to hear about the start of the growing season in Brazil and South America.
Well, typically at this time of year, Todd, begin to see kind of the daily onset of what we call monsoon shower and thunder shower activity across areas of Mato Grosso. Climatologically, late September, early October is the start of the rainy season. Once rain activity increases, then farmers get out in the field and start planting their soybeans. This year, they received some preseason rain activity back about a month ago, but since then, they've turned drier, and specifically in Mato Grosso, and that drier pattern looks to continue at least through the first half of October. So we're really delaying the onset of the rainy season, in some ways kind of similar to what we had a year ago across areas of Mato Grosso. So the longevity of this pattern, this drier pattern in Mato Grosso, and the subsequent delays in planting progress is certainly something to watch here going forward. Farther south in the areas of southern Brazil, that zone has been on the active side with above normal rainfall totals of late. Furthermore, above normal rainfall looks to continue over the next few weeks. So that's an item to watch here for concerns with winter wheat quality, and then also any kind of early delays in summer crop planting there.
And then turn your attention to the Midwest and the harvest season. How will producers be able to move through the fields over the next week to 10 days in all of the Midwestern states?
Well, the pattern looks to become more active relative to the pattern of late, which has just been fantastic. For example, over the past 7 days, it totally opened here across the Midwest as a result of very dry conditions and ultimately very warm temperatures as well. As we look out into the early part of October, the main feed of moisture coming in from the Pacific is going to be directed into the middle part of the country. That will be especially true in the plains, where actually rainfall is needed in the hard red winter wheat belt to boost soil moisture reserves for planting. But specifically here in the Midwest, don't feel initially it's going to be enough to really cause any kind of significant delays, just granted because it's been so open here as of late, but definitely the pattern for the first half of October looks more active than the pattern we've seen in recent weeks.
And anything else that we need to be concerned about across the rest of the planet?
Yeah, certainly dryness has really taken hold across Australia, and part of that is attributed to the strong El Nino event going on across the Pacific Ocean, and that dryness, along with significant heat, will continue over the next 2 weeks, so that will continue to draw down soil moisture as their winter wheat crop goes through spring growth.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Ted.
That is Mark Russo. He is with Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Thanks for being with us. If you're in the field, be safe. If you're traveling the back roads, watch out for the guys that are in the field and consequently hauling corn and soybeans on those roads. They move slower than you do.